Welcome to the Sermon Podcast of First Alliance Church in Lexington, Kentucky. The sermon you're about to hear is entitled Simeon and Anna, taken from Luke 2, 22 through 38, and was delivered on December 29th, 2019, by our pastor to youth, Dan McPherson.
Welcome. My name is Dan McPherson. I'm the high school pastor here in the Engage magazine. I'm the attractive one on page 9 and at the end. You've noticed that there's no screen over here. It's a church-wide initiative for during worship to help you all memorize words, and then during videos to use your imagination. So your side will come soon. I'm just kidding. The bulb went out. So we're finishing
so
up
much for
a
listening.
December series
here at First Alliance,
that we have
we
titled
love God,
"The Voices
love others,
of Christmas."
And live fully engaged
the
in
big
Christ's
idea
Great
of the
Commission,
series is this:
starting
because
in Lexington,
Jesus
Kentucky,
came, because Jesus
to
came
learn
to
more
Earth,
about our church
Christmas,
or to hear other great sermons like this
everything
one, visit us
changes.
At FAC.
And so, over the past 4 weeks, we've looked at different stories of Christmas through the eyes of different people and biblical authors. More accurately, we've looked at the perspective of the events that Jesus' birth brings, and then how we should interact with those around us in light of that. And so now, on the heels of Christmas Day itself, we're going to look at some events on the other side of Jesus' birth in Luke 2, and it's Christmas according to Simeon and Anna. So if you would, pull out your Bible or your phone, whatever device you read Scripture on. It won't be on the screen today, but I'd love for you to follow along with me. And we will be in Luke 2, beginning in verse 22. Technically, this event happens 40 days after Jesus' birth, so I thought about postponing church until February 3rd, but I thought it'd be hard to spread the word. It's a Monday, so logistically it's a nightmare. It's the day after the Super Bowl, so some of you might take work off that day, so you could come to church. So, but I decided instead of all that, we'll just read it today and get an early jump. Christmas, according to Simeon and Anna, Luke 2, beginning in verse 22, and the story goes like this. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. This is a law from Exodus 13, verse 24. And to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. So the Levitical law, which is coming from Leviticus, which is in the Old Testament, it requires purification of the mother at 40 days. So the mother was to bring a lamb for the burnt offering, and then a pigeon or a dove for the sin offering. But the law said that it was permissible, if you could not afford a lamb, then you could bring two doves or pigeons. So based on Luke's account, Mary and Joseph are too poor to bring a lamb. But isn't it interesting that they bring the Lamb of God? They're financially poor, yes, but still richly blessed. Maybe something to remember when we're strapped, when we're stressed, when we're struggling. Financially unstable, uncertain, but eternally secure. Maybe that's us. Verse 25, it goes on. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, and this is a song, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She didn't depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up on that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. This is the word of God, and we believe it. I love getting presents. Giving them is nice too, I guess, but receiving gifts, that's really what I am looking forward to. And each year as my birthday approaches, which is October 12th, I put it up there on the screen for you. Just write that down in your notes. I want you to begin planning, saving up for what you're going to get me next year. I highly anticipate gifts. And I'm also known in my family for being the one chomping at the bit to open presents on Christmas morning. I just can't help it. It's so fun to get things. And most years, the presents I receive are a surprise, which is how I like it. So I know when my birthday is, October 12th. Now you know this as well. Keep that at the forefront of your mind. And then I know when Christmas is, December 25th, but I don't know what my gifts will be. And here in this story, Simeon and Anna are the complete opposite. They know what the gift is. They know they've been told that a Messiah is coming, but they don't know when the birthday, what we call Christmas, will be. So the morning dawns, sun comes up, a rooster crows in the distance, Jerusalem coffee drifts into each of their rooms. As Simeon and Anna get out of bed, they're faithfully looking forward to receiving this gift, just like every day before it. And on that particular day, that seemingly normal day, February 3rd, or whenever it was, a young couple walks in to dedicate their baby to the Lord. And for Mary and Joseph, this was an ordinary day. Yes, they were new parents. Sure, it was God with us, Emmanuel, the Messiah, all of that. But this practice, this ritual, coming to the temple for purification, for sacrifice, for dedication, this was a normal, ordinary experience. Every Jewish family would have done that. So imagine Mary and Joseph's surprise when a strange man runs up to them, takes this baby in his arms, and starts prophesying over him. Ordinary turns into extraordinary. But isn't that so God? Showing up in the normal, in the everyday, in the monotonous, in the rituals of life. And it begs the question, do you notice God in the mundaneness of everyday life? Do you recognize when ordinary becomes extraordinary? Do you reflect on where God has shown up in your day? Where he's spoken, where he's answered a prayer, where he's surprised you? Simeon and Anna have been waking up every day, anticipating, praying, fasting, actively looking for the Messiah. And in a word, Simeon and Anna have been faithful. And that word, faith, what the dictionary simply describes as allegiance to duty or a person, belief and trust in and loyalty to God, something that is believed, especially with strong conviction. That word, faith, is the universal quality of God's church. God's people are faithful. And in this short story, we see three characters who embody that quality, Simeon and Anna, and then right at the end, the last verse that I read, verse 38, Luke talks about this small group of believers in Jerusalem who are waiting for redemption. Which is important because at this time in history, Jerusalem was a very wicked city. religion was at an all-time low. The faith of the Jewish forefathers, meaning Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that faith had been spoiled by the Pharisees and the Sadducees, which is why we see Jesus so intensely speak into that. You remember his teaching, the cup is clean on the outside, but dirty on the inside. He's speaking very intentionally to this faith that has been soiled. The world that Jesus enters is dark. It's filled with hypocrisy, false doctrine. Even so, Simeon, Anna, that small group of believers in Jerusalem, follow by faith. Often we develop this tunnel vision, even at this time and season where our eyes should be on Jesus. We often focus on ourselves. We forget the big picture. We dissolve into worry, into despair, hopelessness. And yet, as God's people, we're called to be faithful. Faith requires eternal perspective rather than to be consumed with temporary circumstances. God's people are faithful. And then if we look carefully in this passage, there's a fourth character who exemplifies faith. And it's God. God is faithful. Throughout history, time after time, God has been faithful to his people. Stories are filled in Scripture of God's faithfulness. And here again, God is faithful to Simeon. He's faithful to Anna. He's faithful to that small remnant of believers in Jerusalem. He's promised a Messiah, and he has fulfilled that promise. The Messiah has come. It's December 29th, the last Sunday of 2019, just 2 days before we kick off a new year. Where has God been faithful in your life this year? What I'd like you to do is take out the green sheet of paper that you got when you walked in this morning. And at the top, write ways I've seen God's faithfulness in 2019. And I'm going to give you 3 to 4 minutes to reflect on your year. Meredith's going to play underneath softly so we don't have awkward silence. Write down as many ways as you can that God has been faithful to you this year. Maybe for some of you, this is going to be easy. It's been a great year. You've seen God's faithfulness. Maybe something immediately comes to mind, but maybe for some of you, you'll have to think for a little bit. Maybe you've had a rough year, and this is going to be pretty difficult. But one thing I can guarantee, God has been faithful in your life in some way this year. Maybe it's huge, maybe it's small, but God has shown up in your world in 2019. So Meredith's going to play, and let's take a couple minutes to reflect on the past year.
Thank you.
Would you sing that with me if you know the words? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light. High schoolers, that's called a hymn. One of my favorites. God is faithful. Sometimes in big, concrete ways. Maybe you've seen that. Sometimes in little, abstract moments. Maybe you're more familiar with those. When our faith is in full force, when our faith is small, even when we don't have faith at all, God is faithful. And I pray that in the last few moments you've been able to reflect on where God has shown up in your world this year. I'd encourage you to put that somewhere that you can see on a regular basis, maybe on your dresser, your bathroom mirror, or a fridge, or in your car somewhere, a place that you can be regularly reminded of God's faithfulness in your life. Why? So that you can be encouraged that more will come in the future. Faithfulness is written all over this story, but we also see another characteristic, another trait. Simeon and Anna trust God. They're very old at this point. They could have given up years ago. Imagine waking up every morning wondering if this would be the day. I put myself in their shoes, and there would be days I would wonder if God would show up, if He would ever follow through, if I would ever hear from Him. I imagine Simeon saying to himself, I know the Bible says Methuselah lived 969 years, but I might give him a run for his money if he doesn't come soon. That's a joke. Yet, Simeon and Anna wait for the promised one, the redemption of God's chosen people. They put hope, they put trust in God, anticipating that He will fulfill His promise. And when the moment comes, when that young family of three walks into the temple, Simeon immediately runs over and places his full trust in a baby, completely undeterred by the seemingly helpless, unworthy form it comes in. Again, myself in his shoes, I wonder if I would have missed the greatness of the Messiah simply because I overlooked the small, unassuming package. How often do we miss God simply because it's small and we're looking for something huge? Simeon's praise song is fully focused on the hope and the trust that God will provide for future generations. This child is too, he says, bring salvation, gather all peoples. He comes for all, not just Israel, which is a good thing for us Gentiles. He is to be a light, to be the glory of Israel. It's a song of trust, of hope, of anticipation of a future changed by the Messiah. It's December 29th. Celebrating Jesus' birth, the day itself at least, is behind us. A new year lies ahead. 2020 is an open book, ready to be written on. The world is your oyster, whatever Shakespeare meant by that. But the Messiah has come. The child that is to bring salvation, to be a light, to gather all people to Him, to be a light in the world is here. What if, like Simeon, we trusted God with our future? More specifically, we trusted God with the new year, with 2020 AD. So what I'd like you to do is pull out that second piece of paper, the purple one. At the top, write, ways I'm trusting God in 2020. And I'm going to give you another 3 or 4 minutes to reflect on the year ahead. And write down as many ways that you can come up with that you want to, no, that you need to trust God in 2020. Maybe something immediately comes to mind. Maybe you are weighed down this morning and you are trudging into 2020. Maybe for some of you this year has been pretty easy and you're going to have to think for a little bit about where you need to trust God. But one thing I know, wherever you're at, we all need to trust God with something in 2020. So take a few minutes and reflect on the year ahead. Can we give Meredith a round of applause? I told her 30 minutes before first service that she was going to do. She just wrote those songs. She just came up with them on the spot. Next week, we're beginning a series on prayer, but I wanted to get a head start today. So if you're willing, I'd like you to take your trust card and trade it with someone near you. You don't have to put your name on it if you don't want to, but how cool would it be if you knew someone was praying for you, praying with you about the things you're trusting God for this year? Would that be cool? It's awkward. I'm okay with that. I'm known for awkward things. I'll give you 30 seconds. Find someone near you and trade cards. Go. Ten, nine, eight, three, two, one. For how many of you, that was an easy exercise to do? Good. More than I was expecting. How many of you is very difficult? Honesty, best policy. Here's my thing. Faith and trust are easy words to throw around. They're what we're called to do as Jesus followers, yes? But sometimes putting them into practice is hard, and this is the reason why. Sitting for 3 minutes, listening to a hymn, thinking about the faithfulness of God is something we don't do very often. Sitting for 3 minutes, thinking about the ways that we need to trust God prayerfully rather than worryingfully, we don't do very often. My prayer for you this year is that that would become a natural rhythm in your life. What might that look like for you? Maybe you are getting ready for bed and you think back on the day, where did I see God today? Maybe you take that card that you just got from someone, put it up on the wall, and pray for them on a regular basis, and then put yours up next to them and pray. It'll look different for everyone. But what would it look like if faith and trust, dwelling on faithfulness, becoming faithful, trusting God would become a rhythm in your life? How would that change your view of God? How would that change your view of yourself as a child of God? We see faith and trust in Simeon and Anna's story. We can relate to those. We can emulate those characteristics. We can think about those. But we can also identify with this story in another very similar way. We, like Simeon and Anna, know the gift, but not the birthday. The birth of a new heaven and a new earth. The second coming of Jesus. We've been promised that, yes? We've been promised his coming. Jesus has said, I am coming back. But he also says, you don't know when that will happen. We, just like that small group of believers in Jerusalem, are living in dark times. It's easy to focus on and worry about the temporary aspects of life, whatever that means for you, the political scene, the daily ramifications of violence, war, stress at home, at work, at school, damaging relationships. You fill in the blank. You know what worries you. But the question becomes, are we being diligently faithful? Are we reflecting on God's faithfulness and his goodness in our lives on a regular basis? Are we trusting? Are we hoping in the future? Are we banding together with other believers like that small remnant in Jerusalem, looking eternally forward? Because one day our faith will be made sight. One day God's faithfulness will be made known to all people, all of eternity. One day our trust, our hope will be forever realized. Just like Simeon and Anna, one day the birthday will come. But the question becomes, how are we carrying ourselves in the meantime? I chose this passage for a reason. I love this story. I love the characters of Simeon and Anna. And at the crossroads of a year behind, a year ahead, I believe that we can learn from the faithfulness and the trust of Simeon and Anna and the faithfulness of God to his people. And my prayer for you this week, as you begin 2020, that you would begin not only with New Year's resolutions or exciting goals or new rhythms of life, but with a spirit of trust, of anticipation of God's faithfulness and the knowledge that he cares for you, that he watches over you, and that he fulfills his promises. The worship team is going to come up. We're going to sing a song called Yes and Amen. You probably know it. Faithful you are, faithful you will ever be. All your promises are yes and amen. A beautiful way to start the new year. Let me pray. Jesus, thank you for your birth and what that means for us. Thank you for characters that you have put in Scripture that we can watch, that we can emulate, people like Simeon and Anna. I pray that on the heels of Christmas, that we would have the same joy that Simeon showed when he saw you. I pray that we would live in the truth that you are alive, that you are the Messiah, that you have changed us and can change the world. I pray that we would look eternally forward with faithfulness and trust. In your name, amen.
Thanks so much for listening. Here at First Alliance, we love God, love others, and live fully engaged in Christ's Great Commission, starting in Lexington, Kentucky. To learn more about our church or to hear other great sermons like this one, visit us at faclex.com.